Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
DU Hoops, Idaho. Hey, man, you can get over there by 5 o'clock. Catch most of the game. See your Vandals and then get back in time to
get all decked out in my Idaho stuff.
Watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I? Game of trot from the north, brave and bold, bearing banners of silver and gold. I wonder if they're here yet. You think they're here?
Well, that will inspire them.
Yeah.
Throw open your windows, Vandals.
Yes.
And sing along.
By the way, the Vandals are a top 20 team. I don't know what your team's doing right now.
Top 20 team in football?
Yeah.
1AA?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, what do they call that now? FCS?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're one.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to it. Hope everybody had a great weekend. A weekend spent without the Broncos. A weekend that I spent, I was up in Boulder on Saturday watching some college football.
Okay.
Watched the Buffs get rolled over by Oregon, but still a terrific day. Beautiful, beautiful, windy day. Windy, very windy. Very windy up there in Boulder.
Probably really affected the Buffs passing game.
Yes, it threw it off.
Threw it off.
It was not as sharp.
It was out of sync.
It was not as sharp as it normally would have been on a calm, placid day.
Yes.
No, not at all. But yeah, yesterday just hit the couch, didn't move for about 6 hours.
Oh, just hung out and watched. Did you watch Red Zone?
I had Red Zone. No, I had Red Zone on all day. Well, yes. Until the afternoon, because the afternoon only had a couple of games. So I watched mostly Tampa and the Rams. But the early window, the Octobox, had 8 games that I was able to follow, including yours. You had a good one.
We had a good game. Really good game. And very tight. Right until the end, last minute. They all seem to come down to that. One score, last minute games, don't they?
There are a lot of close games.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them were decided, a lot of late games at the end, went right down to the end, last plays in the end zone, that type of thing.
Brady with 12 seconds left, throws a touchdown.
Brady,
pass.
Man, I...
We're still here!
Watching that whole game, they were doing nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. The Rams had him bottled up all day. And then with like 50 seconds, bloop, 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 touchdown, game over. And
McVay's still here.
McVay has his look on his face like, how the heck did that happen?
I don't know how, because I was watching it on the plane. And I'm like, how in the heck do you not protect your sideline?
Right?
Right, he gets one down the middle, they go and spike it, and then you can't throw another one in the middle because there's like, at that point, there's like 24 seconds left or whatever. So you got to throw it to the sideline. Oh, running back leaks out, boom. Then somebody runs it out.
Scotty Miller, boom. Scotty Miller again, boom.
And then you're like, how are you guys not, like, you should be lined up with your foot, one foot almost out of bounds. Like, that's where you should be.
Absolutely.
I didn't understand it at all. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Well, whenever there are those Sunday NFL days without the Broncos, where I was asked, what were some of the things that you saw, observations of just watching the NFL and then relating it back to the Broncos that make you optimistic, pessimistic? Oh, man, I wish we had that.
I'm here.
Hey, he had to struggle.
Yeah.
Man.
I'll tell you what, Tennessee just plays them. Tennessee's got their They may not win them all, but they've got their number when it comes to how to play the Chiefs.
20-17, by the way, last night, in case you missed it, Chiefs escape in overtime. They were down 17-9 and got the late touchdown and then held them off, won in overtime.
I'm here.
Guy's amazing.
Yeah, but he had to throw the ball like.
Oh, that's because they don't ever. But like one Tennessee, like did that scare you at all though? Watching that game, knowing that the Broncos are heading there next weekend.
Well, tell me who the quarterback's going to be, because if it's Malik Willis, I'll take my chances. Well, who am I kidding? Even if it's Ryan Tannehill, I'll take my chances.
Malik Willis almost beat the Chiefs.
He was 5 for 16 for 80 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He almost beat the Chiefs. Ooh. I know he did. I know. Right. I know.
Yeah. That's D-Mac quarterbacking. Right?
Mahomes, okay, on a day in which if I had told you that Patrick Mahomes went 43 of 68 for 446 yards, how many points would you think the Chiefs scored?
Between 36 and 50.
Yeah.
I'm here.
And they scored 20 in overtime.
It's crazy.
That's wild. That's wild.
That is crazy.
That is wild. So hit us up, ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. As, some of the observations from a day spent on your couch watching NFL football. Hey, doing today's show with a bit of heavy heart today because a real legend in this town, Peter McNabb, longtime Avalanche analyst, passed away at the age of 70 yesterday after a long battle with cancer. And my heart goes out to everybody in his family, everybody that he works with, has worked with. You know, for a long time, you know, we were the home of the Avalanche for really the first, 15, 16, 17 years that I was here at the Fan. We were, right. You know, we had the Avalanche. And so we did so many things with Peter McNabb. And I'm telling you, Mark, never, ever saw that man in a bad mood. Incredibly helpful. Always willing to come on, talk hockey. Loved hockey. Mm-hmm. Loved talking about hockey. And couldn't have been more helpful to all of us here and all of us who are interested in hockey. Terrific player. This guy was sometimes people forget when you see you become used to somebody listening and watching that person as an analyst, you forget what kind of player they were. And Peter McNabb played 14 years in the NHL, scored 363 goals in his career. He had a 6-year span in his career where he scored 227 goals. Terrific player. I grew up watching him back east. And so you can imagine what a thrill it was to be able to come out here and meet him and get to know him and get to talk hockey with him and share stories. And so gone much too early at the age of 70.
Yeah, I didn't know him well, but I just know this. Every time that I was around him, and it's nothing but gracious, kind, and he's fun, man. He was fun to be around. So, obviously, like you said, just, you know, your heart breaks for their family.
Well, we dedicate today's show to the great Peter McNabb, the memory of Peter McNabb. And if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share with us, please hit us up on the text line 303-713-1043. Coming up next, Russ in Cabo. Does it matter? Does it matter that pictures were caught of him and Ciara poolside? That's next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Now, here's the deal you got to watch out for. Okay, bye weeks were always a little scary for Russ. You know, he'd go down to Mexico. There was I think it was 2016. He went down to Mexico and came back and, you know, it was a little heftier.
Oh,
and, Oh, yeah. There were a lot of shots fired. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Like, what did Russ do for 5 or 6 days? So you got to make sure you stay on Russ now. All right. Get that win. Make sure he isn't out there traveling the country in the prior or the world on the private jet. Make sure he's.
Well, he can do calisthenics while he's traveling. So he should be okay now that he's figured that out.
That's why we call Brock Huard the Russell Wilson Whisperer, because he warned us last week. Said, watch out. Watch for Russ on those bye weeks. Likes to go down to Mexico. And what do you know? Russ, on his bye week, went to Mexico and finds himself in a little bit of a controversy? Tempest? What would you describe?
Why is he in a controversy?
Oh, we've got a number of people here at the Fan all in a tizzy.
Why?
That he was lounging poolside, and the problem that some folks have,
all right,
is that right before the pictures of him and Sierra poolside came out, he had tweeted, "Keep working.
It's spicy."
Mm-hmm.
So the idea being, how much work are you getting done while you're poolside in Cabo?
He's rehabbing. You in the pool, like some nice cool water on that hammy and that lat that's really tender. What are you supposed to do? I think he works too much. I think you need some time off. You need a little time away. And you can still look through your stuff and study your stuff. I mean, it's not all about taking drops and everything else. It's just about how many baskets of chips you eat, really. That's where I get myself in trouble.
Right.
Right. And I'll go out there, and next thing I know, we're at a nice restaurant, you know, chips and salsas flowing, you know, and then the next thing you know, it's a two-basket night.
Diabetes.
Hey, I've been lucky enough to go on a few family trips down there, and I see people up early in the morning running along the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I always laugh whenever I do a little virtual tour of the place we're going to stay, and they make it a point to show the fitness room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'll never see that.
Right.
Can't do it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. There's plenty of opportunities to get in a workout if you want to.
I don't, like, the fact that anybody would be upset or whatever about Russ jumping on his jet and flying to Mexico for a few days to get away, that's stupid. Like any person on this station that's upset about that is just dumb. Sorry. It's dumb. Like you
James Marillette will join us at 6:50,
yeah.
Everyone.
I mean, what are you supposed to stay home the whole time and, oh, I'm just grinding away. In our Super Bowl teams, like, now, I'll be honest, I don't know that I ever got to go anywhere because I was always rehabbing an injury, right? So I always probably had surgery during the bye week. But in our Super Bowl teams, I half the guys all packed up and went to Vegas. Half our team, whoo, out, Vegas. Gambling, running the streets, like having fun, running the streets. You got it. What's, I get it. Okay, we haven't won enough game. What do we, you sit home and punish yourself? Stop it. That's silly. That is just silliness. Oh, wait. Okay, what? Your ratings are down? Are ratings down? Ratings are down across the board at the station. Nobody gets vacation. Nobody. Like, come on. James Marillette, you went to London.
You went to London.
Oh, but we've never had higher web numbers, though. We've never had higher web numbers. So Chicken Little was like, hey,
hey,
my stuff is working
this
great.
This is a busman's holiday.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now.
I mean, that's just silly. It's silly.
Again, he went off, as Brock Huer told us, hey, guy likes to get away during his bye weeks. Okay. And you know what he did when he was in Seattle on his bye week? You know what he was doing around his bye week? Weeks before his bye week? Weeks after his bye week? Playing at a really high level.
Yeah.
Winning a lot of football games. It wasn't a problem. This has nothing to do, and will have nothing to do with how he plays and how the Broncos play moving forward. But man, I guess this must be what it was like back in the day when John Elway would get scrutiny for what kind of Halloween candy he was giving out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
You didn't give that out of big bars, then you're in deep trouble.
I'm sure he worked out. We'll see. I mean, you're right. We'll see if he looks a little puffy.
Who cares if he worked? Who cares if he worked out? I don't care if he worked out.
Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees.
I really don't. Float around in the pool with your kids. Have a good time for a couple of days. What do you think? You've just lost it? I don't know. And study Scat Hank. You know?
Hut Kevin in Hudson. Evans bases his 5-star hotel rating based on whether they have a deep fryer for deep fried hamburgers.
Man.
Yes.
I eat well on those trips.
Oh,
man. And I don't work out.
Huge.
Nor should you.
No, I don't. I do not.
You should just kind of go lounge around,
Yes.
Let your body recoup.
I'm very good at letting my body recoup.
Yes. You've been letting your body recoup for 50 plus years. You're an expert.
I'm an expert.
Expert at body recuperation.
That's right. Let's see. Do you guys see what happened again with Seattle? Everything's breaking their way. It is breaking their way. Geno Smith continues to play at high level. Noah Fant had a big day yesterday. Had close to 100 yards receiving. Harris had a sack. They won again.
Yeah.
They lead, right? They lead the NFC West.
By like two games.
They lead the NFC West, and they're on a path to get a top 10 pick. Ugh.
Yeah.
Let's run.
Well, sometimes you make you make your own breaks. They're playing good football. Defensively, they're playing well again. You want to talk about drafting guys? They've got rookie corners, a rookie nickel and a rookie corner that are playing Woolen and Kobe Bryant playing really high level. They got two rookie tackles starting, two offensive tackles that are rookie starting, and they're both playing great. They're both playing really good football, Mike. Why can't we find tackles that can play? And then, and they've got the rookie running back, Kenneth Walker, who's playing great. Geno's playing great.
Man. Yeah.
Tell you your race is too out of me.
They got us. Hey, Seattle. You got us.
Yep.
You got us.
Yep.
But sometimes you just got to tip your cap.
Hey, somebody runs the big con.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to, like you said, tip your chapeau.
Mm-hmm.
You got me.
You got us.
I think this trade stinks.
Catfished. We got catfished.
Yeah, we did. We're the NFL equivalent of Manti Te'o.
That's right. We got catfish.
Yeah, we did.
Morning Brew.
You got us.
Morning Brew coming up next. We got a good look at what the Broncos are in store for next week based on what we saw last night. And the Avalanche and Nuggets weekend in review. Boy, the Avs just again showing that when they can dial it up, they can dial it up. Details next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Mahomes holding it. Now he's going to sprint for the far side at the pylon. Did he get in? And they give it to him for a two-point scramble at the far front pylon.
Chiefs radio.
Woo.
Kansas City was on the ropes. But they responded thanks to Patrick Mahomes, a touchdown run, and then a Mahomes run for the two-point conversion. They hold on defense in overtime and get a Harrison Butker 28-yard field goal to beat the plucky Tennessee Titans 20-17 in overtime. The Broncos will play at Tennessee next Sunday morning. What's the biggest takeaway that we learned from watching the Titans last night?
Well, I had a Titans game earlier this year. Jeffrey Simmons is a problem inside. Defensive tackle. He is, behind Aaron Donald, there's a group of guys that you could put in as just dominant players. He's one of them. He's one of those guys that is a issue for people. Great player. Their running game, they create problems. I don't know if the quarterback Tannehill will be back or not, but they're a problem. And Mike Vrabel, I will say this about them, man. They are physical. That's a football team. So wait, it's old school. We are going to run the ball. We are going to beat you down. It's a good football team.
It was the Mahomes show last night. 43 of 68 for 446 yards, and he was the leading rusher with 63 yards.
And he kept him to 20 points,
and
which tells you
in overtime.
Right. It just tells you, man, they'll give up. You want to talk about the Vic Fangio effect, They'll give up those plays underneath. They'll let you'll run down, and then they're just going to play really solid defense, make you kick field goals. That's kind of the philosophy that's going on in the league right now.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I think it was evident in our assist total. 37 assists. Now, the turnovers were still too much. 37 assists, 18 turnovers. But we were making some highlight types of plays that led to plays for teammates. You know, I mean, Nikola dropping through the legs pass to Michael trailing. As long as we're playing together and not just playing with each other, but playing for each other. You know, I'm not 1952 CYO coach and you got to bounce pass, thumbs down. No, play the game, man.
Bounce pass, thumbs down. That's true. That's how you were taught. Michael Mullins Nuggets blowing out San Antonio over the weekend, 126-101. That was a fun game. Everybody got to have a chance to get out, play. Bones Highland had 24 points.
If only we had a great coach who really knew what he's doing, like Popovich.
Well, we'll see what Popovich has in store because there's a rematch tonight in San Antonio. Okay. So we'll see if the Nuggets can make it two in a row. Nuggets a 7.5-point favorite on the road at San Antonio.
I guess Pop?
The vaunted Pop. He can only do so much.
How?
I know.
How?
Because he's Greg Popovich.
I know.
Greg Popovich doesn't need players to... Oh, yeah.
He does.
Oh. Next on the Morning Brew.
Mancini playing behind the runner at first. He goes, and the pitch is lifted to right by Castellanos. Long run for Tucker over toward the line and foul territory. Makes the catch, and the Houston Astros do it again. 2022 World Series champions.
You know, I was talking to my son about this because I was like grousing about the fact that Houston won the World Series.
Why?
And, here's what he said. You know, he made a good point. He goes, you know what, Dad? He goes, they're actually a likable team. And I start, and he started, you know, rattling off some of the guys like Peña, the shortstop, likable, Verlander, likable, Trey Mancini battling back from cancer. You're right. The only turds left on that team, really, are Altuve and Bregman. But the rest of them is a pretty likable team.
I like that. I like that. Astros, I don't have any problem with them winning. By the way, there's five, I think five guys, they did it. There's five guys left from those teams that, or that team that, you know, got caught for cheating. Dusty Baker's 50
another one I like. Yeah,
50
exactly.
Years in Major League Baseball, and he had won it as a player, but he had never won it as a manager. So I didn't have any issue at all, man. I ended up watching, you know, obviously watching the final game and watching Schwaba put Philly up by one, and then the next inning, you know, they go down 3-1, and I don't know. I thought it was fun.
Meanwhile, Mattress Mac, did you hear about this guy?
He always bets like $1 million or something crazy.
He bet $10 million at different sportsbook outlets on the Astros to win the World Series. He cashed in $75 million.
Great cash, homie.
Yeah. That dude,
he said, this is the chief operating officer for Caesars, said, what can we say? We just wrote the biggest check in sports betting history to Mattress Mac for $30 million. Oh, my. Dude. How will Vegas ever get by now?
Yes.
Don't bother going out there anymore, anybody. They're out of money.
Dude, how did that guy get on? Like, he wheeled his... He has to have a wheelbarrow for his onions. He just wheels them. Like, I'm wheeling my onions into my private jet. That dude is like...
Huge. So basically, yeah, he kept going around to different sports books, and the average payout odds were plus 750 for the Astros to win the World Series at the beginning of the season. Good for him. Next on the Morning Brew.
I liked their game a lot. First period, probably gave up a little more than I would have liked on the, you know, against, but second period was one of our best periods of the year. Probably the best offensive zone period we've had in a while, and it was a full team effort. It wasn't just like our big guys in one line. Every line was doing it and having success in their own way.
That was a very strong against.
That was a very strong against.
Man.
Well, the Avalanche, we said... We told you, this is the way it's going to be. They're going to play up and down to the level of their competition or the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And in this case, they went across the world to Finland.
Yeah.
And it was the NHL Global Series.
I got to watch some of the third period of that game. Well, I tell you what, they put it on.
And they represented two strong wins. How about, and you know what, you just got to love, I love the teams or the athletes that just understand the moment and rise to that moment. Mm-hmm. Mikko Rantanen going back home.
Right.
You know, where he's a national hero and scoring a hat trick
mm-hmm.
in the first game. So
that's a great, I mean, that was fun. And then I got after the game to see them skating around on the ice and just being kind of honored.
Yeah.
By the finish.
Yeah.
I just call them the finish.
The finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sad news, bittersweet news when it comes to the Avalanche as a longtime Avalanche analyst, former DU pioneer, great player in the NHL, Peter Knapp passed away yesterday at the age of 70 after a long battle with cancer. And thinking of Peter McNabb, his family, all the people who over the years who worked with Peter McNabb, a wonderful, wonderful man, passionate about hockey. God, he loved talking about hockey. And as somebody who grew up watching him as a great player,
mm-hmm.
he really was a great player. Scored 363 goals over a 14-year NHL career. But, man, loved talking about hockey, loved the Avalanche, and so passionate right up until the end, really. And dedicating today's show to the memory of the great Peter McNabb. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Up next, James Marilat, who apparently has a problem with Russell Wilson, I don't know, taking a few days off. James will explain himself next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
There we go. Let's jump into it. James Marilat at DenverFan.com joins us courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. Yeah. Morning, James.
Morning, James.
Morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Oh, doing great. I'm so happy that Russ got to get away, go to Mexico, get some sunshine, and lounge around by the pool a little bit and take his mind off this thing. I'm sure you feel the exact same way I do.
Yeah, this was certainly a hot topic over the weekend on social media. And my thing with Russ about the whole trip was, look, if you want to go on vacation on your bye week, that's fine. But, of course, he or his team or whoever is handling his social media, while TMZ is posting pictures of him sitting poolside with Sierra, they're tweeting on Russell Wilson's account, keep working. And it just is so what we saw all offseason, right, of all the videos of here he is working out at the soccer team's facility in London and in Monaco doing this and doing that. And it's like, man, the more someone tells me how hard they're working, the less I believe it. And it just felt like another one of those examples. It just felt like another example of Russell Wilson, his team maybe just not getting it, not reading the room. But, hey, if he got down there and he cleared his mind and he's back and ready to go, that's great. Because I do think, you know, after getting to just sit there and watch all the games yesterday and not have to worry about the Broncos, there's not a great team in this league this year. Everybody's playing coin flip type games, and if you play 17 of those, you're going to go 8-9, 9-8. Broncos have done that in the first half. They just sort of had a few things go against them in a couple of games. There's no reason they can't go on a run in the second half. There really isn't.
But back to the optics.
Yes.
Why should that matter? This is what he's been doing for years in Seattle. It's what he was doing and has been doing the moment he became a Bronco. Nobody had a problem with it when he first became a Bronco. This has absolutely no correlation whatsoever to how he and the offense is playing. None.
I would agree with that, but it does have to do or have a correlation with his ex-teammates who for 8 weeks we've been hearing various stories of how they call him a fraud. Well, that's the kind of thing that makes people think you're a fraud when it's all about your image and tweet and keep working so everybody thinks you're grinding when in reality you're sitting by the pool. And again, I don't care if you're sitting by the pool. You probably should be sitting by the pool. But when you're giving out one message and doing something completely different, that's what makes people think you're a fraud. That's what makes you a teammate that is hard to relate to. And that has been a storyline throughout the first 2 months of the season. So that's part of why I think it's important. And look, we had Russell Wilson fatigue in July. I can see why they had it in Seattle after 10 years. So it's just one of those things of he just needs to stop, right? He just needs to stop with that stuff and just go play and play better. And then all of this stuff won't matter, Mike. I agree with you that it doesn't matter, But when you're not playing very well and your team is 3-5 and you're one of the biggest disappointments in the league, it just rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, well, I will tell you that I would disagree with you. He doesn't need to stop. He just needs to play better.
Like, that would solve everything.
Yeah, that would solve. Because I just have the feeling, James, that he ain't going to stop. Like, this is who he is, and this is what he does. And so he's not going to stop. So he's got to play better. So, you know, I mean, coming off a bye week and coming off a game in which they found a little bit of rhythm. They came back and won a game in London. How much faith do you have that they can travel down to Tennessee and get their season back on track?
Well, it is the tipping point game. If they win that game and move to 4-5, then all of a sudden you look at it and say, well, the Raiders are coming in here. They stink. Maybe you can get to 500, and then anything's possible. But if you lose at Tennessee and you're 3-6, now you're in a hole it's hard to see yourself digging out of. So it's the tipping point game. The Titans are good. I mean, they had the Chiefs on the ropes last night, but they are one-dimensional. Even with Ryan Tannehill, their receivers don't scare anybody. So that is an offense that's all about Derrick Henry. If you can find a way to slow him down, you're not going to stop him, but slow him down, you've got a shot. I actually think they can go into Tennessee and win, because if you go back and look, there's no such thing as moral victories. I get it. But you do have to evaluate the losses to see – well, how close are you, right? This isn't a team that's like the last VJ year where they're giving up 50 burgers and they're getting blown out. It is literally a play or two in all the losses. It's the scoop and score at Vegas that totally changed that game when Melvin put it on the ground. It's the muff punt by Montrell Washington in overtime. It's Russ throwing the interception late against the Colts when you had a chance to really just ice the game. Can they clean up a play or two after the bye? Sure. And they're also doing that where they're within a play or two while being the most penalized team in the league. That has to get cleaned up. So if they come out of the bye and they've fixed some things, they've tweaked some things, then I think they've got a shot. If they go status quo and think they're fine, well, then I think we're going to see more of what we saw in the first half. So I'm hoping, and I don't know that we're going to see any change in the play calling. That would obviously be the biggest move. But I thought the up-tempo that they did a little bit in London should be something that becomes a regular part of what they do. They have to mix that in every once in a while. They're not going to be Jim Kelly and the K-Gun offense, but Buffalo sort of stumbled into that solution back in the 90s. Maybe the Broncos sort of stumbled into at least a partial solution with that in London.
James, 30 seconds. Hard deadline here. 30 seconds. You had 7-1 at the bye. That did not end up well.
That was close.
We'll give you this opportunity. Their record over the next 9 will be?
6-3.
Okay.
Yep. All right. I think there's 3 really, really tough games. It's the 2 against the Chiefs, and it's at Baltimore. I think the rest of them are coin tosses. So law of averages, some of those are going to start going their way, Mike.
6-3, 9-8. That'll have you close. That'll have you close. Thank you, James.
You bet. Thanks, fellas.
James Marilat of DenverFan.com joining us, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. Coming up, 4 down territory. What did we see from the Titans that give you hope or make you pessimistic about the Broncos going out to Music City next week? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.